on the invitation cards that we sent out to homes in the district and which we handed out when we were speaking in the open air yesterday. We invited people to church this morning to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And I trust that you have celebrated this morning, that you've enjoyed the singing of the praise of our God, that you've appreciated listening to God speaking to us through the Bible. Those of you who have been worshipping with us over the last few weeks, you will know that I've been looking at one verse in particular from Matthew 16, and we've been looking at the different stages that led Jesus to the cross. And just to remind you of what that verse says, it says, "From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." Well, Good Friday, we were looking at the price of Easter and the fact that Jesus was killed. He didn't just swoon. He wasn't, as it were, some phantom. And these have all been ideas that people have suggested about what happened on the cross. No, Jesus died. Jesus died and he was buried. And this morning, we have come to celebrate the fact that he was raised from the dead. Now, many might ask, well, how can we celebrate something that happened 2,000 years ago? Or you might want to ask, why should we celebrate it 2,000 years ago? Has it got any significance for us today? I believe it has huge significance. Let me illustrate this. Yesterday, we were in the open air, and four of us preached at different times, and there were a number of us who were giving out leaflets and getting into conversations with different people that passed. One of our ladies got into a conversation with a man from Somerset, and we chatted with him and explained to him the gospel. He took some of our literature and thanked us and then left. But a few moments later, I again saw him talking to our lady, and when I went over, I found out that his wife was there, and not only his wife, but his daughter and her boyfriend. And it was quite obvious that they were what today is called goths, black from head to foot in their clothing, and the makeup that was used was extreme. And yet, as we were chatting, this couple, the older couple, had some church background, and I was explaining to them the difference between the work of Satan and the work of the Holy Spirit. Satan shows us our sin in order to condemn us. The Holy Spirit shows us our sins in order to show us the cross and the forgiveness that is available in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I spoke about Satan, the young couple withdrew. And then, having chatted a little while, the young man came back and he said to me, "I am going to hell." He said it so calmly and so coldly. And I was ready to explain to him that that is not inevitable. But sadly, the older couple had moved on and they had to follow. To be honest with you, I was devastated. The facts are, friends, that if we die without Christ, then we will go to hell. But the message of Easter is that Christ has died in our place. He suffered hell. He suffered the judgment of God in order that we do not need to suffer the judgment of God. And God has proven that there is no need for us to suffer the judgment of hell because he raised Jesus from the dead. 18 months before he died, Jesus said that he would be killed and on the third day he would be raised. There was power promised. And Jesus spoke these words as a prediction. He said, this is going to happen. I will be raised. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, friends. This word raised can actually be applied to that situation. You know, in the mornings, and you're trying to get your teenage children up out of bed, and they say, yeah, I'll be there. And they turn over and go back to sleep. It can simply be that, raising somebody out of bed. But the way it is used here, Jesus has said, I will die and I will be raised. I will be raised from the dead. Jesus knew that he would die. And when he explained this, he said on the third day he would be raised. Now, why does he mention the fact that it's going to be on the third day? There are many reasons, but one is a very practical reason. A week or so before this, Jesus had passed through the village of Bethany, and a friend of his had died, and he had been in the tomb for 4 days. And when Jesus said to the friends of this man and to his sisters, take the stone away, one of the sisters, Martha, said to him, but Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. What was she saying? She was saying that in the climate of the Holy Land, 4 days, 3 days in the tomb, it is obvious that decomposition would have started to take place. And what Jesus is saying here is that he was totally subject to death. Decomposition would have started to take place in his physical body. But even though that had happened, he was raised. And I want to give you comfort here. There's going to come a day when the final trump of God will sound. The voice of the archangel will be heard. The graves will be opened, the dead in Christ will rise, and we will be forever with the Lord. It doesn't matter what has happened to our bodies. It doesn't matter that we have returned to dust and ashes. The Lord Jesus Christ, the God who reigns, will demonstrate his power, and we will be raised from the dead. That is the message of Easter, that God is able to raise from the dead. Jesus predicted this about himself. But I don't know if you realize it, Jesus was not the first person to rise from the dead. In the Old Testament, two preachers called prophets, Elijah and Elisha, they actually, in effect, predicted this. They certainly prepared for it by raising two young men who had died. They raised them to life. Jesus himself, when he was here on earth, he performed many, many miracles. But there were three in particular that he performed. He raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead. One day, he was walking through a village called Nain, and he saw this funeral, and there was a widow following the coffin. And he realized that this widow had lost her only son. Jesus raised him from the dead. And I've already alluded to the fact that a week before Jesus' death, he was passing through the village of Bethany. His friend Lazarus had died, been in the grave 4 days, but Jesus raised him from the dead. Friends, miracles are miracles. And they're miracles because they don't happen every day. And I'm not going to say to you this morning that if you die, you will be raised. If someone you love dies, they will be raised and given new life here on earth. No, we are not promised that in the Bible. As Christians, we perform funerals rather than performing resurrections. We accept that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But the first Easter tells us that there is life after death. There is power in God to raise those who are dead. So that is the power promised in the life of Jesus. But there is the power proved. In a court of law, in our land, there have to be sufficient witnesses. There has to be sufficient evidence of an incident before somebody can be convicted. There is evidence, friends, of the resurrection. There is evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. In the passage that we read this morning, I read of those soldiers who came in and explained, something has happened, the grave is open, the body has gone. They were witnesses. And the fact is that there were angels who spoke and who actually said, he is not here, for he has risen. Don't be afraid. The women went to the tomb, not to witness the resurrection, but to embalm a corpse. But they saw that the grave was empty. The disciples, in confusion, they thought, what is going on? They wouldn't believe the women. So they ran to the tomb themselves. Do you see, friends? The gospel writers tell us that the resurrection can be proved. Now, as early as the first generation of the church, there were people who were saying, no, you can't believe that. But Paul, the great apostle, a man who opposed Jesus Christ when he lived on earth, came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was so concerned that people believed in the resurrection, that he offered proof. And in one of his letters to the Corinthian church, he has this whole chapter on the resurrection. And he again lists different people. He says Peter saw that Jesus was risen from the dead. The 12 apostles saw that Jesus was risen from the dead. In fact, on one occasion, Jesus appeared to over 500 people. Now, we haven't got a record of that in the Gospels, but Paul tells us that it happened. Friends, if 500 people see something, is it a delusion? Is it a dream? No, it's a fact. It has been proven. Christ has risen from the dead. And it is proven. Now, we live at a time when people don't want to accept the truth. Let me give you an example. People don't like to admit that they've become ill. So they won't go and see the doctor. No, I'm fine. They won't accept that they're deteriorating and that they're losing weight. No, there's nothing wrong with me. But eventually they die. They will not accept the facts. Maybe you're like that when it comes to Christianity. You cannot believe that a man could be dead for 3 days, according to Hebrew counting, probably about 36 hours as far as we are concerned, and that he could be raised from the dead. You don't want to believe in the resurrection. I've put all that behind me. Friends, that might be here, your attitude this morning. But it does not change the facts. The facts are that Jesus was killed, that he was buried, and that he was raised from the dead. No matter what you or I think. In the chapter prior to our reading this morning, religious leaders went to the political leaders and they said, this man has said that after 3 days he will rise. Now, these were the enemies of Jesus, not the believers in Jesus. The enemy said, this man said he's going to rise. So please, put a guard over the tomb, put a seal on the tomb so that nobody can enter. What happened? Guards, seals, total totally useless in the presence and in the power of God. Powerful religious leaders, powerful political leaders could not prevent the resurrection. The night when Jesus was arrested, Pilate, the governor of this part of the Roman Empire, said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it has been given to you from above." Jesus was saying, the only power that you have as a political ruler is power that God has given. So we have seen the power promised. We have seen the power proven. But you say, so what? What does that mean to me this morning? Well, my third point this morning is the power procured. I want to go back to that story I was telling you about being in the open air yesterday, speaking to that young man who believed he was going to hell. Now, it has to be said that if anyone dies without Christ, hell is their destiny. They've lived without Christ, they will die without Christ. But that is not the message of Christianity. The message of Christianity is there is life beyond the grave. There is victory over the grave. We sang it, didn't we? Repeatedly. Death has been conquered. The message of Christianity is that God has accepted the price that Jesus paid on the cross. You cannot get right with God on your own. You cannot reach God's standard. But Christ has reached God's standard. Christ has paid the price. Paul says, as in Adam, all human beings, is what he's saying there. As in Adam, all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. My question to you this morning is, are you in Christ? Are you sure that you will be raised in the resurrection? We were sad on Thursday morning when we heard of the death of Joan Jackson, one of our members. We're sad because we won't talk to her again, a woman who faced huge issues so faithfully. But we are not without hope. And it's not an uncertain hope. It is a certain hope that one day we will see Joan. Because all believers who die in Christ will be made alive. But you say to me, how do I gain the benefit of that? It's okay, you're filling my brain with information. But how do I get the certainty that I will be raised? Well, Paul again, writing to the church in Rome on this occasion, says this: if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you do that this morning, friends? Do you confess that Jesus is Lord? Do you accept the fact that there is nothing that happens here on earth without the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ? Again, we sang, death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. He was the babe of Bethlehem. He was the crucified of Calvary. But today, he is Lord of heaven and earth. He is the conqueror of death. Do you confess that? Do you believe that? And then Paul goes on and says, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You might be able to explain it because of the information you have up here. You might be able to use words from your mouth in order to explain these things. But I want to ask you this morning, Do you rely on it? Do you believe in it in your heart? Are you prepared to stake your eternal destiny on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you understand this promise, friends? That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you know what it means to be saved? Friends, it means that you do not have to fear death. Many people fear death, the cause of death, the consequences of death. Again, let me go back to Joan Jackson. A few weeks ago, she was particularly unwell and had to go back into hospital. My wife and I were visiting her, and I said to her, Joan, are you in pain? This was her answer. No, Bernard, I'm not in pain, and I'm not afraid to die. That woman was saved. She was saved from the fear of death. She was saved from the consequences of death. She was saved knowing that death had been conquered. Yesterday again in the open air, Keith was preaching and he said words to this effect, that Christ had suffered in our place. And I heard a young lady speak to the young man she was with and say, if he suffered for me, why am I still suffering? Friends, I'm not going to say to you that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will remove all of your sufferings. Jesus said, in this world we will know suffering. But Jesus has suffered the greatest suffering, that is separation from God, the judgment of God for our sin. Those who confess with their mouth, who believe in their heart, will be saved. Saved from a life of sin here on earth, saved from the consequences of sin, saved from the presence of sin in eternity. But friends, it is limited. I would like to be able to say to all of you, because Jesus died, you will all go to heaven. But you walk round the DIY stores and the garden centres over this weekend, and what will you see? You will see sale, 50%, 20%, X percent. Must end Monday. There's a limit. And there is a limit on the gift of salvation. You've got to pick it up this side of death. You cannot pick it up afterwards. And the other limit is that salvation is only for those who will believe. You cannot tot up all the good things that you have done. You cannot claim the family that you were born into. All you can do is say, Jesus, I need your help. Please help me. Scripture says to us, in Christ all shall be made alive. Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. And at his coming, those who belong to Christ will be raised. Let me ask you this morning, friends, do you belong to Christ? Have you asked him to forgive your sin? Have you responded to his invitation to come to him? This morning, I have explained to you the power of the resurrection. And you can know the power of the resurrection by confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. But on this Easter Sunday morning, I want to ask you, will you do something about it? You may have sat here for years. You may be here for the first time, and for the first time you have understood this. Will you do something about it? Will you believe? Not for my sake, not for the sake of Emmanuel, but for your sake and for the glory of our God. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth and with your life. We're told that on the day of Pentecost, a matter of 6 or 7 weeks after this event, that those who received this message were baptized, and that day there were 3,000 added to the church. On this Easter Sunday morning, let me ask you, will you demonstrate your faith by believing and being baptized? What a glorious hope! No one need fear the grave or life beyond the death. There is no need for uncertainty. Christ has died. We will die. Christ has risen. Those in Christ will rise with him. There is peace with God for all who will believe. Do you believe? Let's sing our final hymn.